John chapter 15, and I want to share just a few things from this passage tonight. John chapter 15. Been preaching through this chapter at Collierville, and the setting of this chapter is that this is the last night that Jesus was with his disciples. In fact, this was the night that he was arrested, and then, of course, tried, and then shortly after that, taken to the cross. And so these are some of his last words before the cross to his disciples. In this chapter, it's the vine and the branches passage. I'm not going to look at that particular part tonight, but that's found in this chapter where Jesus is kind of explaining his relationship to them, explaining to them how things are and how things will be going forward. So it has great, great relevance for us who are his disciples, for those who've been brought to trust in him and to follow him. So in John 15, I'll start reading in verse 9 and read through verse 17. Jesus says to them, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." This passage shows us how precious and how valuable that the Word of God is. Because we've heard before many great messages on creation and how that the Scripture tells us that in creation we can see that there's a God. We can see that He's powerful. We can see that He is wise. We can see He's creative. We can see He's intricate in the details. We can see many things about God from creation. But only the Word of God reveals to us how deep and how full the love of God is. Isn't that precious? Jesus says a statement here that is one of those buckle your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride statements. He says, as the Father, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Speaking to his disciples. How precious is that? Because we are dealing with a relationship God. Okay? We're dealing with a social God. God is a social being. God, we know, is Trinitarian, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And from all eternity, before there was the creation, before God made the world, God was love, is love, was love. And who did He love? He loved Himself. God, the Father, loves His Son. The Son loves the Father. The Spirit loves both. And it all is in there together, this glorious, harmonious relationship of love. And so God's a social God. He's a relationship God. And God decided in His own good pleasure to share His love with other creatures who He would create and make. And so God made this world and He made people. And He chose to save some of this race of people. And God, what was He doing? He was sharing Himself with others. Not needing others, but He was pouring Himself out, sharing this love with other creatures. God is a social God. We know the Father loves His Son. And Jesus was conscious of the love of His Father. He walked here on earth as the God-man. Jesus Christ was conscious that my Father loves me, because the Father spoke that word at His baptism and at the Mount of Transfiguration, where He said, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, the Son of my love, in whom I am well pleased." And so Jesus walked in the conscious awareness that His Father loved Him. And what is, if we're going to just stack this up even higher, in the same night, in the same setting, this is actually in Jesus' prayer to the Father, but in the same night, Jesus spoke these words in John 17, in verse 23, He says to the Father about His disciples, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me," get this, "and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So what do you have here? You have Jesus saying, I love you like the Father loves me. Like the Father loves me, so I love you. And now he's saying, Father, like you love me, you love them. You follow? That's a lot of love. That's a lot of love. As the Father loves me, I love you. Father, as you love me, you love them. Love, love, love. From the Father, from the Son, poured out upon His disciples. Now, if Jesus were to say, I moderately love you, man, I would take that. You know, that's a whole lot better than the alternative. I moderately love you. I mean, the temperature is like at the center point. I'll take it. But He says, as the Father has loved me, we're dealing with it. We're talking in God measurements. God measurements. God measurements. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. This is a deep, deep, abundant, full, and rich love that the Lord has for His people. We know it's an undeserved love. We know it's a love where we actually deserve the opposite, but Christ pours out His love upon His people. In verse 13, He says this. He says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So we know it's a costly love. We know it is a sacrificial love. It is a deep love. James Montgomery Boyce, in his commentary on this passage, he tells a story of a grandfather and a grandson up in West Virginia who were fishing on a body of water, and they fell overboard and they drowned. And they said as they pulled the bodies up that the grandfather was still clutching the arms of his grandson. And when you hear a story like that, there's just no words, right? Because here, you know, his last efforts were to try. I mean, he would have been willing. He did all that he could, no doubt, to save his grandson, but he couldn't get it done. But just the fact that there was that was in his heart just moves us, doesn't it? That he was willing. He would have stayed under and put the grandson back up to get breath and to stay alive. And we hear stories on the battlefield and stories of mothers and others who lay down their life in some sacrificial way. And it's one of those holy hush kind of moments when you hear about something like that. But not to be crass, but the reality is that grandfather was eventually going to die anyway, wasn't he? His death was inevitable because he's a sinner like we all are. And in that sense, the death of Jesus was not inevitable because he had no sin. His death was a pure voluntary death. I mean, it was inevitable in the sense that the Father ordained it. Don't get me wrong, right? But in the sense of that it had to happen because of sin or something like that. No, it was different from all of our deaths in that way. And His death was a guilt death. His death was a penalty death. His death was a sin death, bearing our sins. And so Christ, in love, is saying to the Father, Father, I am willing to stand in their place and shield them from your wrath. I'm willing for you to plunge the sword in me so that it will never be plunged in them. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And when Christ laid down his life for us, yes, in some sense we were his friends, but not really yet. We were his enemies. Romans 5 tells us that. But his death ensures that we are, that we do become his friends. What great love. A deep love, a sacrificial love, a love that you can only measure in God measurements. The Son throws His love down upon us. The Father pours His love down upon us. Well, look at the command that goes with this. Jesus in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. The word continue is the same word that's translated in this chapter several times. Abide, remain, dwell. Continue in this love. The statement that helps me wrap my mind around this is that we would keep ourselves in a conscious awareness of His love. Just as Jesus walked in a conscious awareness of His Father's love for Him, so we are to walk in a conscious awareness of this love. We are to walk in a meditating of this love, a reminding ourselves of this love. We are to live in this atmosphere, breathe the air of this love relationship that the Father and the Son have towards us. You know, when you recognize, when you live in this kind of love, it brings a tremendous sense of security, doesn't it? I mean, true security. That come what may, He loves me like this. That with my struggles, with my weaknesses, with my burdens, with my questions, I don't know all the answers, but I know this. He loves me like this. That's security, isn't it? That's a great sense of security. It gives us real comfort. It gives us the strength to endure. I can keep going because I know that He loves me like this. It also, His love towards us is also the motivator to our obedience. And we'll get to that in a moment. His love is like a magnet to our hearts to draw our love back to Him. We want to respond to this love. So as we're consciously in the Word and by faith and by prayer and just our own meditations, as we're consciously abiding in His love for us, this is the fuel to our obedience. This is the fuel to our wanting to please Him, wanting to respond to Him in a way of thanksgiving and of praise. So with that said, Jesus says in verse 10, continue my love. In verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. See, our obedience to Christ is a love relationship. It's a love expression. It's not just law. It's not just do this and live like the old covenant. Don't and you die. Our obedience to Christ is an expression of love. It's an expression of gratitude. An expression of I desire to please you because of all of your goodness and all of your mercies to me. Look in John 14. Remember now, it's the same setting, same night. All this is going on. So much language about love here. So in John 14, Jesus says to them, verse 21, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now stop right there. We're talking about the mark of true love for Christ is obedience. The mark of true love for Jesus is obedience. Listen, you take polls, there are multitudes of professed Christians in our nation, right? I mean, if it was really true, like all the statistics, we would be in a whole lot better shape than we are. The mark of a true Christian is that he obeys Jesus. That's what he says. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. We're not talking about sinless perfection, you know that. We're talking about the pattern of our life. We're talking about a sincere striving and sincere fruits of obedience that are brought forth in our life. We know the hot and the cold, all those caveats. But just here's the statement. This mark of true love for Him is that we obey Him. Well, look at this. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, it almost seems like Jesus is saying it's a conditional thing, like if we will obey him, then he'll start loving us. That's not what he's saying. We know from 1 John 4, we love him because he first loved us. His love for us produces our love and obedience back to him. So I think what he's saying is this. The one that obeys Christ, guess what? He obeys Christ because he loves Christ. He loves Christ because Christ has loved him and put that love in his heart. So here's what happens. It's like a glorious cycle. It's kind of like the water cycle, right? The rain comes down. It trickles down back to the oceans. The evaporation sends it back up. And then you have this glorious water cycle that God created. Well, here's just like this. God's love comes down to our hearts, transforms our hearts, and it's like a magnet that draws our hearts out in him, back to him in obedience and love. And guess what he says? When you obey me, guess what happens? I love you, and my Father loves you. In other words, I'll give you more of my love. I'll give you more of myself. We'll come and we'll make our abode with you. We'll come and we'll stay with you. So the love comes down to us, stirs us up to obey him, and then what happens as a result? He rewards the obedience that he already worked within us and gives us more of himself, more of a sense of his love, an ever deeper relationship. I hope that makes sense. A beautiful cycle of love that produces obedience that goes back up to the Lord, and he just sends down more love as a result of that obedience. This glorious cycle of his mercy and his grace towards us. Obedience is not a dirty word. It's a love word. It's a love word. Lord, I love you. Therefore, I want to say no to this temptation. I love you. Therefore, Lord, I need to be more easily entreated. I want to work on that. Lord, I love you. So therefore, I need to work so hard and diligently. I'm not being self-focused and living at the wisdom of this world, as Brother Nathan has just brought out. Obedience is love language to the Lord.
I love you, Lord. I want to please you. I want to walk in your ways. I want to do your will. And then in verse 11, he says of John 15, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is the good life. This is the great life. This is the abundant life of John 10:10. Love, joy, Christ, his love for me, living in that love, living in conscious awareness of that love, which motivates me to want to obey you, Lord. And as a result, I have more joy, more of your love that I take in and receive. What a great Savior. What a wonderful relationship. What a glorious relationship this is. This God's a social God. And he wants to share himself with us. Well, verse 12, and he says, this is my commandment. So we're talking about obedience, and of all the commandments he emphasizes, here's the one he pinpoints, like he does several times this last night of his disciples, as you find these chapters in John. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. See, if you're a believer tonight, you are inevitably, eternally marked with the love of Jesus Christ. I mean, you have to say with Fanny Crosby, this is my story, this is my song, this is who I am, this is what defines me, is the love of Jesus Christ. So now Christ says, if I've loved you, now you love one another. You let that birthmark be obvious. You let that mark of my love that's transformed your life and defines your life, now you love one another as I have loved you. This love that the Son pours down, that the Father pours down, the Son, this love that sacrifices for our benefit, Christ says, now you love one another. So we could, to make it practical, we could think of all so many of the passages in the Scripture, the love one another Scriptures. Edify one another, right? Spiritually build each other up. Be long-suffering with one another. Try to think the best about one another. Pray for one another. Have compassion on one another. Forgive one another. Serve one another. Be willing to sacrifice your own liberties for one another. Romans 14. And it could go on and on and on. Listen, we cannot be followers of Jesus Christ and be self-consumed. He just brought it out in James 3. No, he says, this mark of love has come upon you. Now it must translate into your love toward all. But here he specifies to fellow disciples, be poured out to each other. So that the people who follow me are marked by love. This is so much deeper than just a fake smile kind of love, isn't it? This is deep, hard, demanding, high standard love. And listen, if we're all honest with each other, none of us here tonight perfectly love each other, do we? And I read one place one time, it made me laugh. I was like, this guy's so right. How did you grow in love? By practice, right? Because God puts people in your path that are hard to love. I say, amen. And that's us, right? We're all different makeup, different personality, our own weirdnesses and flaws and sins. Because he says you've got to forgive each other. And so how do we grow in love? By practice. By God putting people in our path and putting us in their path who are difficult to love. And it stretches us out in love to each other. Not surface, up in the clouds, but real where the rubber meets the road. Like, I've loved you, so now you love one another. Well, I know our time's running out, but really quickly, I don't want to pass this up. He says in verse 14, he says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Same thing. Here's the mark that you're my friends, is that you are obeying me. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. That melts my heart. There's so many different relationships in Scripture that the Lord points us to. The Father and the Son. The parent-child relationship, the husband-wife relationship, the elder-brother relationship, the shepherd and the sheep relationship. So many, because his love is so deep and full and abundant. But here, it's the friend relationship. See, he says, the servant, The master says, hey, go do that. I owe you no explanation, just go do it. I mean, tell you why, but just go do it. That's the Lord-servant relationship. But it's so much deeper. Christ is still our Lord, don't get me wrong. The authority is still His. But with His disciples, He opened up. He shared stuff with them. The things my Father showed me, I've shown it to you. So I've told you about what I'm doing here. And even though they didn't all understand it, they would understand it better later with the help of the Holy Spirit. But He told them about His laying His life down. He told them about the kingdom. He told them that His Father had sent Him. He'd opened up. They had greater knowledge. They had greater understanding than all the Old Testament saints, because the light had trickled through. Great light had trickled through. But now the curtains are really coming wide open with Jesus, and the light and the revelation, the knowledge is coming through. I've shared valuable, precious things with you because you're my friends. How do people typically make friends? Well, person A says, you know, person B, we have some common traits, or we know some of the same people, and so person A shares something with B, and B says, I like this person, I'll share something with them. And they share, and pretty soon you got a relationship, you got a friendship. But then person A may say to C, well, I like C, okay, but I'm not going to be one of my close friends. There's nothing wrong, sinful, just how it works. But particularly A and B, they see something they like in each other, and they say, well, let's be friends. Mutual. It's not like we were talking to Jesus one day. He talked to us. We said, well, I think I'll strike up a friendship with Jesus. No, Jesus in verse 16, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. The greater chose the lesser, didn't he? And he said, I want you to be my friend. I pick you for my friend. Isn't that amazing? I pick you for my friend. I'm going to share stuff with you. I'm going to open up to you. We're going to have it's going to be deeper than just a slave relationship. Now, you're still my servant. You have to obey me. But I'm going to even tell you stuff I'm doing. And I'm going to open things up to you and share with you. You're my friend. You're my friend. Sometimes people have a hard time making friends. Maybe they're more of an introvert, so the words just don't flow as easily. They maybe get into a crowd and they say, I feel like I say the dumbest thing when I should have said something different. Or there was a joke and everybody got the joke, but I didn't get it. Everybody's laughing. I just felt like the oddball. I have a hard time making friends. I don't have maybe the qualities some of the other popular people have. We need friends. He that has friends must show himself friendly. There's a lot there, right? Let me tell you, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the greatest friend that you'll ever have. This friend is the most loyal, generous, sacrificial friend you'll ever have. And He loves His friends in the exact way that we need to be loved. Because there's good friends and there's bad friends. And none of us are perfect friends. We all mess up as friends. But Jesus Christ loves His friends in the exact way that they need to be loved. And you know what? On this very night, all of Jesus' friends would forsake Him. They all forsook Him and fled in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then Peter would actually deny Jesus and swear and curse and say, I don't know Him. In other words, He's not my friend. But Jesus was still his friend. And Jesus made sure that he and Peter got back on good terms before he left. Now that's a great friend. Understatement of the year, right? That's a great friend. One there is above all others, John Newton wrote, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly, free, and knows no end. Well, in closing, why did he choose us as friends? Because he loved us, right? But does he have a plan for us as friends? He does. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Jesus has chosen us as his friends, that we would go and bear lasting fruit. fruit. The definition I've given it in this study is words or motives, thoughts, words, attitudes, and actions from a heart of faith in Christ and obedience to God and for His glory. He has chosen us as His friends that we go and bring forth fruit. And then he says, you can pray to the Father in my name. You can pray to the Father in the name of your friend. You can pray to the Father in the name of the friend who has so richly and abundantly loved you. I pray that God would bless us to dwell in the conscious awareness of this great love. And it'll be that cycle in our lives that draws us out to Him, draws us out to others. And as we do that, He gives us more of Himself, more of His love. And we have this close, ever closer friendship with Jesus Christ. May God add His blessing.